Well, seems like it's a little bit cold for a few people out yet to this this week here. So, but that's all right. We're still going to preach the word. We're still going to do the things that God's called us to do. And we're going to have a great time doing it. Now, last week, I did talk about, you know, we talked about more in 24. We talked about that more in 24. If we want more in 24, it's going to require what in our lives? It's going to require change in our lives. Not many people like change. Carrie will tell you that I kind of thrive on change. I like change from time to time, but not many people do. So if we're going to get more in 24, if we want more in 24 of the things of God, if we want more in 24 of the things in our personal lives, then it's going to require us to walk out some sort of change. And if we want to be all in with God, all in with the things of God, it's going to require change in our lives. It's going to require us to pursue Him in a way differently than we did in 2023. We can't keep seeking God like we did in 2023 and expect more in 24. We'd always be looking back. We don't want to look back. He says, Paul says, I press on. I'm going forward. I'm reaching out. I'm not forgetting the things that are behind. Those things there, good and bad, forget those things behind. I'm moving forward. I'm pressing on. So if we want more in 24, we want to be all in. Once again, it's going to require change in our lives. So if we're serious about change, if we're serious and want to be a part of this all in, going all in, and when I'm talking about all in, I'm not just talking about the things here at LifePoint Church. Granted, I want to have as many people all in as possible here at LifePoint Church, but I'm talking about your personal lives also. If you want to be all in and you want things to happen in your personal life, then there's going to be some change that has to happen. There may be, we have one person in our congregation right now who has a family who's gone back to college. You think that's not hard? When you've got kids, when you got a husband, a girl that I knew, she's now, what do they call it, right below a doctor. I can't remember what those initials are. But she went back to college to earn that degree, raising three kids, and had a husband, and everything else that's going on in their lives. So I'm not just talking about the things here at LifePoint. I'm talking about things in your personal life. If you want to have more in 24, then you've got to be all in what it takes to have that more in 24. If it requires you, like if I want to learn more about leadership, then I need to be studying on leadership. It may require me to set aside playing disc golf one weekend. But it may require me to set something aside. The change may require you to set something aside in order to achieve what it is that you need in your life. It requires change. But our ultimate goal here at LifePoint to be all in is to win as many people to Jesus as possible. Everything we do here at LifePoint is pointed toward reaching the lost, reaching the people who need Jesus. This Friday, we had a little bit of excitement around here. I come in, and Carrie comes into my office and says, hey, the lights aren't working in my office. Computer went down, everything's down. And so I look around, and there's nothing else off in the building, just that office. And so I went to the breaker box. Sure enough, the breaker was tripped, so I flip it back, and lights still don't come on. And next thing you know, the breaker trips again. I'm thinking, what in the world? So I started looking down the panel to see what's all connected to that breaker. Turns out it was a sump pump. So what did I do? It was my first venture, my first expedition down into the crawl space under the FAC. Yeah. It's about that high. You're on your hands and knees. As soon as you get down there, you're going underneath a 4-inch pipe that's right there. And you feel every little pebble in your knees as you're crawling across that tile floor. My knees were still sore the next day from all of that. So I go down in the crawl space, and I unplug the pump, sump pump. I disconnect it. I bring it on out of there, and I put it up into the closet there. And but then the light. What about the light? It's still not working. And so what did I do? I made a phone call. And it wasn't to the electrical repairman. I made a phone call to somebody, to two somebodies that I know that are all in with LifePoint Church. I made a call to Dave and Karen Bowen. And they came to the church in the midst of the blowing and the cold and the snow. And who wants to bundle up and come out in nearly sub-zero wind chill factor weather? Well, they bundled up and they came over here to the church. And I told them later on, I said, you know what? This is what I'm talking about, all in. People who will bundle up like that to come and do that. And what happened? Of course, I wouldn't have figured it out. He's an electrician. He did. Pulled the ceiling tiles out of the one office and then the office right next to Carrie's. Went up into the ceiling with the tent, that little wing nut thing. It'll come loose. Sure enough, he went up in there. One had come loose. He plugged it back in, zipped it up. We did it all back together and got everything all cleaned up. And then we had lights in that room. Well, by them being all in, by them coming over here and taking their time to do what needed to be done to make that happen, Dave said it probably saved us $500 to $1,000 calling a repair guy. That $500 to $1,000 can be used to reach the lost. When we've got people in this church that know how to do things like Dave and Karen do, and they come in and they bring their supply, then we don't have to spend money on a repairman. We prayed early on that the things in this church would function properly, would function the way that they're supposed to. And that when that went out, I mean, it's just something that happens. But we had people here that knew how to take care of that problem. That's what I mean about all in. Somebody who's willing to lay aside what they may have had something going on. I don't know what all they had going on in their lives that day. But they laid it aside to say, here, let me come help. And I thanked them for that. And I thanked them for being all in like that. So today, the ultimate goal, like I said, is to reach as many people for Jesus as possible. But today we're going to talk about our life in God and how the more and how the all-in lifestyle figures in to all of that. You know, we got to set aside the normal. If we want this lifestyle, then we need to set aside the normal. Set aside the way things are. Set aside the way things have always been in order to, not just in LifePoint Church, but in your personal lives, you got to start setting those things aside in order to move forward in the things that God has for you. And I was listening to a song in there today. It talks about your way is better. Your way is better. So anything that he has for me, it's better than my own way of thinking. It's more perfect than my own way of thinking. It will accomplish more than my own way of thinking. So I want to pursue him with my whole heart because he knows more than I do. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll make you look like a genius. Who wants to look like a genius? I do. So we're going to look into those things, and then we're going to look at a biblical picture of the more and the all in, what it looks like. We're going to see how it may play out in someone else's life, and we're going to see how it plays out in our own lives. And when we're done with today's lesson, because this is going to be about a 4-week series that we're going to do. We're going to touch on various subjects about being all in. But when we're done this morning, there should be a point where we stop and we say, okay, let me evaluate. Okay, where am I? With what was spoken today, the word that was spoken today, the scriptures that were read today, where am I? And there should be a level, there should be a degree, even if it's the slightest to begin with, but there should be a degree in how we view ourselves in God and how all in are we? Have you ever stopped and evaluated your life and thought, okay, am I following God the best way that I know how? Am I listening to his Holy Spirit when he speaks to me? I've said it before. I was out mowing grass, riding on the mower, and I got this mower's blasting. And I think I hear Carrie calling my name. And she's 2 yards away. I've got a 23-horse Kawasaki blasting in my ears, but I think that I hear her calling me. So I thought, okay. So I just left mowing. I drove over there to the house. Say, hey, did you just call me? She goes, nope. So I go back over there, and maybe this is just me. This is just Rick talking. Maybe the Holy Spirit was trying to check and see if I was even listening to him, if I was even paying attention to what's going on. And so I believe that he speaks to us in any given moment. And when he speaks to us in that any given moment, are we listening? Number one. And are we acting on what he says? And if we're listening and we're acting, to me, that's a picture of being all in. I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Look at verses 11 through 14. And this is in the New Living Translation. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." He knows the plans he has for us. He has a plan for each and every one of us. You might not think so. Sometimes I think that, especially when I was working my job at the prison, that I'm just doing day to day. It just seems like go to work, come home, sleep, repeat. Go to work, come home, sleep, repeat. It just seemed like that was the day. It just seemed like that was the routine. But that's not the routine. If I'm looking to the things of God, then he's saying here that he has a plan beyond the routine that we find ourselves in on a daily basis. There's a plan he has for our lives, and it's a good plan. We sang about him being good here this morning. He has a good plan for our lives. And he goes on here to say, it says, "A plan's for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen." He listens when we speak. "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." I love that verse 13. It says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me." Have you ever thought about the word "if" and what it meant? It's only two letters. But if you look at what it actually meant, I'll read this verse by that definition. In the event that you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me. In the event, on the condition that you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me. In the event that you look for me, search for me wholeheartedly, in the event that you're all in, you want to see me move in your life. You want to see the things of God manifest in your life. You want to see the blessing of God manifest in your life. You want to see the joy of God manifest in your life. If you're searching for those things wholeheartedly, if you're searching for them wholeheartedly, in the event that you're searching for them wholeheartedly, you're going to find them. He says you'll find them. And you won't have to live. I mean, I've seen too many people. They'll have someone die in their life and they're reliving that moment day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They need that peace of God in their lives. And if they're searching God wholeheartedly, I've had my dad die. Carrie's mom died. My dad died 2 weeks later. Her dad and her stepmom died on her way out to Rhema. We've had those things happen in our life, but I know where my dad's at. And so I can move on from that if I seek him wholeheartedly. Your revelation of God will fuel your dedication to God. Little revelation, little dedication. If you're not pursuing him, number one, you don't know the things that he has in store for you. And the littlest thing, like if I'm just using this as an example, but if you come to LifePoint Church and then all of a sudden, friend of yours said, "Hey, let's go to the ball game this Sunday morning. Be at the ball game at noon up at Wrigley Field." We go to Wrigley. We don't go to St. Louis. But anyway, I'm glad Greg's not here. But anyway, so, but that comes up and you say, yeah, let's go to the game. Wait a second, no. I'm not saying that you can't go to family events and vacations and all these types of things, but if it's something that's the spur of the moment and it's a choice between I want to go and be with the people of God and bring my supply to the people of God and hear the word of God, I've got to say no to the ball game if I want to be all in. Now, if you're not seeking him wholeheartedly, if there's little dedication, you'll go to the ball game. But greater revelation brings about greater dedication. The more that you know Jesus and the more that he has for you, we just read it up here. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you. The more that you know the plans that God has for you, the greater your dedication. Man, I want to know what those plans are. I sought him. I thought when I was working at the prison about 15 years in, I'm 15 years into a job that has benefits and retirement and all that. And I'm thinking, man, I'm ready to leave here. I'm ready to go to Bible college. And Carrie's like, with those brain, now you're not going anywhere yet. Anyway, you need to be in agreement with your wife if you're, you know. But I thought I was going to Bible college. And then later on, I thought the same thing. I mean, I'm all in at this point. I'm ready to go. And then I retire from that job. And I'm working another part-time job. And that's finally when he said, okay, you can go now. And I'm like, man, let's go. I went home, told Carrie, and she goes, well, looks like we're going to Bible college. And so it was later on, the following spring, we were packed up and we were in Oklahoma. Everything we owned fit in a two-bedroom apartment. I sold generators. I sold chainsaws. I sold everything that I had. Kept the money in case I needed it again. but anyway, sold everything that I had because I was all in this venture. I'm ready to seek God wholeheartedly. I went to Rhema and it was 19 hours a week of instruction in the Word of God plus my own personal study every week for 3 years. You're looking at 30 plus hours a week for 3 years studying the Word of God. Man, I'm all in. I remember I was teaching one time at it wasn't a nursing home. It was maybe an assisted living type place. It was a tower place in Pontiac, Illinois. And they asked me to come in there and teach. And they said, you have basically from singing a song, teaching your lesson, and closing up, you have 20 minutes. I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking, okay, what can I do in 20 minutes? And so, but I wanted to teach on seeking God. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young, how old you are. We should all be seeking God in some form or fashion. So what did I teach on? What was one of the prime examples that I used? I said, how many of you ever lost your car keys? And it's time to leave. So how do you search for your car keys? You're looking in places, there's no way those car keys could be there. You're looking behind the milk in the refrigerator, thinking your car keys got put back there. You're searching high and low everywhere until you can find these car keys because you have to go and you have to go now. Well, I said, and that's how you seek God. When you get into his word, you see what it says, you act upon it. I gotta get in your word, I gotta seek what it says, I gotta know what you have to say, I gotta know those plans that you have for me, I gotta know the plans that you have for me to be able to minister to other people. I got to know. That's being all in. Now, do we all seek him? Do I seek him that way 100% of the time, all the time? People think preachers do, but they don't, not all the time. If they tell you they do, they're a lying preacher. But anyway, don't put that on social media. But I'm going to speak the truth from this pulpit. But that should be our desire, is that we should seek God that way and in that fashion. There's a lot of things that we're passionate about. There's a lot of things that we're all in about. Some people collect things. I used to watch that show, American Pickers. Anybody ever seen that? You know, yeah, I like the show. But when they're on there, they're passionate about seeking those antiques. And when you hear them talking, they know all about that antique. They know the year it was made. They know the function of it. They know how it was used. They just know everything about it because they're passionate about that. That's how we need to be with the Word of God. That's how passionate we need to be about the Word of God. Well, there's a lot of people who like music. They like piano. They like singing. They like playing the guitar. Well, what does it take to be good at those things? You're passionate about it, and you'll take the time to spend hours upon hours practicing. I've said it before. I went to Rhema. I sang I was a big fish in a little pond before I went to Rhema. I went to Rhema, I was a little fish in a big pond. And I got on the worship team there and started out in the choir. But what it took, and I ended up on frontline eventually, but what it took was they would send you the music on by way of planning center, and I'd get that on Monday, and I would start practicing on Monday. I'd practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We would have regular practice on Thursday evenings. Then I would practice on Friday and Saturday. I would practice probably 10 hours for 4 songs. But you had to be able, I had to be able to sing the same exact part as the other tenor. I couldn't ad lib in any way. I had to sing the same exact part. It taught me to enunciate better. It taught me how to project better. It taught me how to, that you don't need to put so much vibrato in your voice and all these different things. How did I get to that point? Man, I was all in with that. That's where I was at the time. Now that I'm here at LifePoint, there's a different, I said it before one day and somebody, they kind of laughed at me. There's a different mantle. And so even though I still love to sing, there's something different. And that something different is, man, I'm all in about being about you guys. I'm all in about that. So in this series that we're going to be doing of All In, the first area that we have to be in, all in about is our relationship with God. Getting to know Him in all areas of our lives. In reality, if we're all in with Him, all the other things fall in place. All the things in life fall in place. If we're all in with Him, the answers to everything that we face in life are there. Because if we're all in with Him, then we're studying His Word, and we read in there, there's nothing in the Bible. Think of your situation. Think of a situation you may be going through right now. I bet I can find it in the Bible. Somebody's already went through it. The answer is already there. So in reality, we're all in, then everything else falls in place. We'll want to be in His house. If we're all in with Him, we'll want to be here in His house. We'll want to pray. We'll want to read the Bible. We'll want to give our tithes and offerings. We'll want to look for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. We'll want to love people. And by loving people, we'll love them enough to share Jesus with them. Selah, let's go home. End of sermon. What else do we need to know? Not really. But I do like that word Selah. And it's just, whenever you read in the Bible the word Selah, it means stop, pause, think about what you just read. Don't just blast through it. Stop and think about it. Think about what you just read. So, you know, like I said before, there are things that in my life that I'm all in about. And one of them is my kids and grandkids. Matter of fact, I asked Lonnie to make sure that he sees the last person out today and locks up because I'm going to see him today. I told Carrie the other day, I said, it's ridiculous that we're this close to them, 2 hours away from them, and we don't see them as much as we need to. I understand when we were 10 hours away, it was hard to get back. But now we're only 2 hours away, so I want to go see my kids and grandkids today. So we're leaving right after service today. I'm passionate and I'm all in about disc golf. You saw the other day I had some of my equipment up here. I had 70 discs and my cart and everything else up here. I'm all in. I'm passionate about going disc golfing. God, I'm in pursuing God wholeheartedly. We remember Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You're all in. When you search for him with all your heart, he says, you will find me. You will ask things of me and you'll receive them. The Bible teaches us that. But even in that, even in seeking God with my whole heart, am I perfect at it? I'll keep coming back to that. Do I fail sometimes? Probably. I might even fail in some form or fashion here at LifePoint Church. But my desire is to please Him and to seek Him always. My desire is to be in His presence with His people in this house here, with you guys. I like it. Believe it or not, I like it when you come here. I like seeing your faces. I like the supply that each and every one of you bring. You may not think that you have anything to offer, but you do. Your presence alone is part of your supply. I believe that when somebody is not here, you might miss them being here, but I believe what you're really missing is the supply that they bring to this body. Whether it's a smile, whether it's a handshake, whether it's a hug, whether it's whatever it may be, you're missing the supply that they bring to this congregation. My desire, like I said, is to be in His presence with the people of this house, LifePoint. The people of LifePoint, it's my desire to care for you with my whole heart. Will I be perfect? No, but it is my heart to care for the people at LifePoint Church. There are pastors who don't think this way, but in my thought process is that me being the pastor here at Life Point Church, nobody can talk bad about you in front of me and get away with it. They can't. If I hear somebody talking negatively about anybody in this church here, I got to speak up. And when I'm out in the public and other pastors will say, well, how's your church going? Of course, they're wanting to hear something negative. They'll never hear me speak anything negative about this church, even if there is something going on that we're dealing with. I'll never speak negatively about anybody in this church. Why? Because I'm all in with the people of Life Church, Life Point Church. And we need to be all in with each other here at Life Point Church. Now, I've talked about relationships from the very beginning. I said from the very beginning here, we're going to be an outward-thinking church, and it's going to be about relationships here at Life Point Church. Relationships with God and relationships with one another. Our relationship with God is the highest priority. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, it's talking about the Ten Commandments. It says, you must not have any other God but me. Highest priority. If we're a believer, he is our highest priority. But he also says our relationships with one another is a high priority. If you look at Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Well, what about the rest of the Ten Commandments? Well, if you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not going to kill anybody. You're not going to steal from anybody. You're not, none of the rest of it. It all fits under that heading right there. Love God, love your neighbor. What more can you ask? What more is he asking of you? If you're all in with him, if our goal here this morning is to be all in with God, with our relationship with God, then number one, we do what he says. Love him, love your neighbor. It's simple. We need to be passionate about one another here in this building. So if you're serious about change, if you're serious and want to be a part of going all in, you'll have to go through some uncomfortable situations. Change is always uncomfortable. Even if you like change, sometimes it's uncomfortable. I remember when I would start a new job. I've only had four jobs in my adult life, this being the fifth. I don't consider this a job, though, because I really do like coming here. So I come here on my days off. But it'll be even worse for Carrie, because when we move to town next month, in less than 3 weeks, we'll be in town. So I'll probably be here at all hours of the day and night. I was here one time a couple of weeks ago. Couldn't sleep, so I said, well, I'm going to the church. So I got here about 5 o'clock in the morning and was just here by myself for 3 hours. But no, I do love coming here. But those uncomfortable situations, it's part of the growth process. It's a part of being all in with God. It's the things that God asks us to do according to his word. You don't have to hear some voice speaking out of, ooh, you don't have to hear all that. Read his word. That's him speaking to us. And some of the things he tells us in his word are difficult in the natural. We don't want to do those things. This guy here has been hounding on me for years. He's been calling me all kinds of things for years. He's been stealing from me for years. Well, what's the Bible say to do? Love your enemy. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Do good to those people. Yikes, that's not how it works. You don't do those, no. They've hurt me too badly. They've hurt me badly. Do good to those people. Pray for those people. That's what he's telling us to do. Change. If we're all in with him, then we're going to do what he says. And sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. Looking at loving and caring for our neighbor. We just read that verse up there. Our relationships with other people. Sometimes our relationships will expose things about us that we need to expose to other people. I'm not saying you tell everybody your deepest, darkest secrets of whatever. But there are some things in your life that people need to hear. And if we look at 1 Thessalonians, Paul's talking to the Thessalonian people in chapter 2, starting with verse 7, it says, as apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you. You know what? Apostle, a pastor, the Bible talks about those who preach the word are worthy of double honor. It's the word. Now, what does that mean in some people? It may mean something different to each person. But it says those who bring the word are worthy of double honor. They could have made that demand on these people. They could have said, you need to kiss the ring, whatever it is, you know. Oh, I forgot to put my wedding ring on today. Oh, don't look at my wedding ring hand. Anyway, but they could have made some demands on these people, but they didn't. Let's go on here. But instead, we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. They cared for the people. They wanted to minister to the people. Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. They're taking that example here. We're not coming to you to place demands on you. I won't place demands on you. I will preach the word, you take the word, and you listen to it, and you do with it as you will. But they could have placed demands on them, but they didn't. They said, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her children. Verse 8 says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives too, T-O-O, our lives also. We brought the word, but we exposed ourselves to you. Man, we see what you're going through. Man, we've been through some of that same stuff. Here's how we got through it. Man, Carrie and I, we've been through some stuff, but we got through it. And how do we get through it? We got through it by the word of God. Let me show you how we did. Let me give you the word, and then let me tell you how it played out in our lives. I preached a sermon here a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago. Your story matters. Some people are either currently or will eventually go through some of the stuff you've gone through in your life, good and bad. They'll go through those things. Your story matters. When they come to you and they say, man, I'm just struggling this. Man, I've been there. I know what you mean. I stood on the word of God on this area here, and here's how he brought me through it. These are all the steps. These are the steps that I went through to get through whatever the thing was that I was going through. But it says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news. So it's telling you that they did share the good news. You don't just share your experiences. That's why I said, here's the word of God which got me through. We need to, whatever we're going through, we need to have word to stand on. We're word people. We're faith people. You got to have word to stand on. So he's saying there, not only God's good news, but we shared with you our lives. You'll get to know Carrie and I over the next few years here. You'll get to know a little bit about us. You may start to say some of the same things that my kids say when I get tired that I'm annoying. So they'll tell me, go to bed. I'm staying overnight with my oldest daughter and her family tonight, Carrie and I are. And if I get annoying, she'll tell me to go to bed. So, and then I'll go to bed because I always do what my kids say. Just like they do what I say all the time, you know. I did have to get to the point where my daughter, my oldest daughter, she said, Dad, I know. She said, because I was trying to tell her how to do something and to do something. And she goes, I know, you don't have to keep telling me. She was about ready to get married. I said, well, I've been the only guy in your life for almost 20 years. Give me a chance to be able to pull back a little bit. And now they come to me and they'll ask me a question. And the first question I'll ask them is, what'd your husband say? Well, he said this. I said, well, then that's what you're going to do. They're like, oh, okay. Now, if they both come to me and ask me, okay, now, let's... All right, I'm in on this. So the more in 24, being all in with God requires something from you. You can coast. You can coast your Christian life. You can just go by, come to church. I did my time in church on Sunday morning. I'm good for the week. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. And you can leave it at that, and you'll go to heaven. But you won't have the more that he has for you. You won't discover the plans that he has for you. You won't discover the good plans to give you a future and a hope that he has for you because you're not seeking him with your whole heart. You're not seeking after those plans that he has for you with your whole heart. But if you're all in, you're going to say, yeah, I'm going to seek after God. I want to know what he has for me. Man, if we only knew, and maybe it's good that we don't know everything right up front, but if we knew the plans that he has for us, man, I don't even know, and I'm still charging full steam ahead. I don't know where my life will be 10 years, 15 years from now, but I know it will be with him and where he's leading me, so it's got to be good. I'm going to be all in. In John chapter 15, starting with verse 6, it says, anyone who does not remain in me, anybody who's not all in, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, on the condition that you remain in me, in the event that you remain in me, that word if, remember we went over that? But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, oh great, here it comes. You're all in. Here's the payoff. You may ask for anything you want and it will be granted to you. If you're all in. Now granted, I've had people want me to pray for them and say, I have an unspoken prayer. Well, just so you know, I don't do unspoken prayers because I don't know what you're wanting me to agree with. You might be asking me to agree that I've heard stories. This person's wanting the secretary to leave her husband to marry him. You know, it's like, yeah, I can't agree with that, you know. Whatever we're asking has to be in line with the word. Now, there's a lot of things, spirit, soul, and body. Financial, physical, spiritual, all those different things play into this thing that he says it'll be granted to you. And it says here in verse 8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved you. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. If you're remaining in him, your joy overflows. It has to. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There it is again. Mark was just talking about loving your neighbor. Here we're looking at it again here in John. Being all in, you'll know that. And what did I say here earlier? I said little revelation, little dedication. Great revelation, great dedication. If you have great revelation in the whole idea of loving God and loving your neighbor, man, you're looking for ways. I knew a pastor one time is with his wife, but still it applies, is that they looked for ways to outserve one another. He wanted to outserve her. She wanted to outserve him. They didn't get in fistfights over it. You know, like some might, but they were always looking for opportunity to serve one another. We can always look for opportunities to serve one another. And we should, because that's what the word says. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. In the loving one another, don't look for faults in people, because we all have plenty. And if you don't think you do, ask your husband or wife, number one. But we all have faults. Look beyond the faults. Jesus looks beyond our faults and loves us anyway. That's what he's asking us to do. I'm talking here about laying down your life for one's friend. It's not talking about necessarily, you know, taking a bullet for somebody. Maybe there are some friends you would take a bullet for, you know. But it's not necessarily talking about that. We're talking about when it says no greater love than this and you lay down one's life for one's friend. Set aside your own agenda for a minute if somebody needs help. That's laying down your life. Carrie and I, on the way in here this morning, there's a guy off the side of the road, flashes on, got his hood up out here on 16. And could have blew by him. Thought never crossed my mind. I knew I was supposed to stop and ask him if he needed some help. Get him into town. He's probably 3 or 4 miles outside of Mattoon. So I said, oh, no, I'm good. I'm just having a battery issue, but I got it fixed. I'm like, okay. And then we saw him start up his car and took off after that. But setting aside the fact that I wanted to get here and make sure that the parking lot was plowed this morning, because if it wasn't, I needed to get on the horn right away and say, hey, we need to get in here and get that done. set that aside to help this person. Love your neighbor as yourself. Lay down your agenda. Lay down whatever it is you think you might need to do that you might think is important that really may not be in the moment, and help someone else. Help someone else. So there is no greater love than lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. Philippians 2, 4, and 5. This is a key verse, I believe, for this passage here, these last few verses. It says, don't look out only for your own interests. So now you got the Word of God telling you, okay, don't only look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude Jesus had. So if Jesus came to serve, what should we do? I'm going to wait till you tell me. We should serve. He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And it says we should have the same attitude as he had. And here he's talking about, Paul's talking about in Philippians, don't just look out for your own interest. Don't just look out for your own needs all the time. Don't be me, myself, and I all the time. Think about other people. They got stuff going on too. Man, is there anything I can help you with? So to totally be on board, sold out to something, it can be extremely exciting. It can be extremely adventurous. Our walk with Jesus can be extremely exciting and it can be adventurous. And that's what it should be. Be sold out, be all in with Jesus. I want to look at one passage here. It's in Matthew. And what it give you a picture of what it looked like back then for some guys to be sold out, to be all in, to say, man, I'm with you and I'm not looking back. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4 and we're going to start with verse 18. And it says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. So they were in the fishing business. They had a business of their own. They had investments in boats and nets and all these types of things. They were entrepreneurs of their day. And it says here, Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. It doesn't say they brought their nets in. It doesn't say they brought their nets in, took the fish out, sold the fish because they're going to need money for their journey, and got the fish sold, put it in their pocket, and say, okay, now, Jesus, we're ready to go. It's not what it said. It says that their nets had been thrown out. And in verse 20 here it says, and they left their nets at once. Immediate obedience to the call. Immediate obedience to the thing that Jesus spoke to them. A lot of times we're not going to hear an audible voice when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It's going to be usually through the Word of God that he speaks to us. And when he speaks to us through his word and it applies to a situation that we're in, there should be immediate obedience. Me as a dad, and maybe I was a little bit harsh and old school, but I expected immediate obedience from my kids. There was not, if I called your name, there was not what from another room. I expected you to stand up, walk into the room I'm in, and find out what I wanted. I expected immediate obedience. Now, did I also love my kids beyond? Yeah. To this day, I still want to give to them any way that I possibly can. But growing up, they knew that I expected immediate obedience. And my kids are great, productive members of society today, loving God today. But I expected immediate obedience. And Jesus, here in this situation, when he called to them, they immediately, obediently stood up, left everything behind, and followed him. They were all in, and they were all in from that very moment. In verse 21, it says, a little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee repairing nets. They were in the same business. They were fishermen. They're sitting in the boat with their dad. It's Zebedee and sons fishing in the boat here, fixing their nets. And it says here, they were in the boat with their father Zebedee repairing their nets, and he called to them too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. They were all in. Jesus called, they said yes, and immediately they followed. Now, I will say that if we're prideful, and it looks like there's a sense of weakness in being obedient to someone who others may think are less than, then we may not follow immediately. We may not be immediately obedient. Or if we're one who is full of tradition, sometimes I've seen tradition supersede the Word of God. If we're somebody that's full of tradition, we won't immediately follow. But if we're someone who is seeking God wholeheartedly, when He calls and He says, come on, then whatever we're doing, we just drop it and we get up and go. Many times, I mean, in our lives, Carrie and I's lives, we've been in the midst of doing something and somebody calls and we say, okay, we just set it down and we head out the door. That's how He expects us to be. If we're all in, wholeheartedly seeking Him, He wants us to follow Him in that fashion. It says, yeah, they immediately followed Him, leaving the boat and their father behind. All in leaves behind what we know. The things that we've been comfortable with. The things that are easy to venture out into possibly the unknown. These disciples, they didn't know what was ahead of them. They didn't know what they were going to go through. They didn't know that after Jesus was gone and went to heaven, how much suffering they would do. They didn't realize that most of them would be tortured and killed. They didn't know all that, but man, they were all in. They said, we'll go. But you know what? In the unknown, there's comfort. When you're in the unknown, if you're all in, there's still comfort. It says, if we're aware of the promises of what's in the Word of God. And the Word of God says here in Hebrews 13:5, says, for God has said, I will never leave you, I will never abandon you. In the unknown, He is there. He's not going anywhere. And if we go on down to John 16:13, I've read this many times, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. When you're all in and there's unknown ahead of you, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you and He's going to show you the things that are coming. And the things that He speaks to you are things that are coming from the throne room of God. Psalm 119, verse 1, starting with verse 103. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate everything, every false way of life. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet, a light for my path. In the unknown, His word lights our path. It guides our feet. We don't have to be scared of the unknown. When we say yes to Jesus and we follow Him immediately, even if we don't know what the next step is, He says His word will guide us. He says His Holy Spirit will always be with us. He says that He will never leave us. He says that He will never forsake us. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. The unknown, that plan is still there. The plan for good, the plan for success, it's always there. He has a plan for us, even in the unknown, if we're all in. We don't have to worry about it. I got to land this plane in about 5 minutes here. I've got so much more that we could keep going on about. I want to read one more passage here in John chapter 6. It says, anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am a living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, You cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Many of his disciples said, this is the very hard thing to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing, and the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning the ones which didn't believe and who would betray him. Then he said, this is what I said, that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. At this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to his 12 and asked, are you going to leave also? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the great, you are the Holy One of God. To me, that's one of the greatest lines in the Bible. Lord, to whom would we go? You called us from the beginning. You saw us by the seashore. You called us. We immediately followed you. You have the words of eternal life. You have the words that give people hope. Where else are we going to go? There's so many different areas that we could dive into. I mean, when I think of people who have gone in, I think about people who've gone into ministry, especially those who are missionaries. And they'll leave. I know a couple of missionaries, Dennis and Jeannie Cook, who left the United States with a tent and a few hundred dollars in their pockets, and they camped in the jungles of Panama for I think it was like 3 years in this tent, ministering to the Choco Indians in the Darien jungle. Well, the ministry's been there for years now, and the gospel has spread throughout the jungle, the Darien. They installed a radio station on top of this mountain, a big tower up there. A friend of mine went down and helped them. He's a bricklayer, built the building for it, to where they're reaching into the jungle, into these jungles, these villages, that if nothing else, they have a car battery and they have a radio to where they can listen to the radio. And they're hearing the gospel being transmitted throughout this jungle. But it started with something, with someone who said yes to God, who said, I'm all in. And they left home, they left security, they left safety with their children and slept in a tent for 3 years because they were being obedient to God. They were all in to the way, to what He's called them to do, what He had called them to do. My final thought, and I saw this written here recently, it says, the world has yet to see what God can do through a man or woman who is totally yielded to Him. A man or woman who is all in with Him. A man or a woman who seeks Him wholeheartedly in their lives. The world has yet to see. We have a group of people in this room right here that if we decide that we're going to go all in, the world has yet to see what can happen, right, with just this group right here. I think the Christian world talks about it a lot. They talk about going all in. They can get excited about a service. They can be all charged up. Like, I've been to conferences and people are charged up, and 3 days later, what I call the 3 day later syndrome, 3 days later, that high they were on starts to go down. Why? Because they didn't reinforce it. Anything you've been taught needs to be maintained. If it's not maintained, then you'll lose it. You'll revert back to what you were in the beginning. So to be all in with God and our relationship with Him, to me it starts with reading our Bible each day. I'm talking about simple, practical things here. To be all in Him, it starts by reading the Bible each day. It starts by praying each day. Now, I'm not talking about how you got to read your Bible for 40... I was going to say 40, there's not 46 hours in a day. But for 8 hours a day, you don't have to sit around reading your Bible for 8 hours a day. You don't have to sit around praying for an hour and a half a day. But man, that needs to be your focus throughout the day. As I'm walking along down the street and I run into various situations, to me, prayer is just having a conversation. Hey, Lord, this is coming. What do you want me to do? Yeah, this over here. Yeah, I need to know what's going on here. And just expecting him to answer you. And he will. He'll give you, there will be a prompting. There'll be an unction to do something. And if it's for good and not evil, I'm going with this from God. But reading our Bible, praying each day, and then attending church. That's where all in starts. It starts with those three things right there. When you attend church, we're here to hear the Word of God, but we're also here to minister to one another. It's not all about the preacher getting up there and preaching at you, because that's what it can be in some places. It's about interaction. It's about sharing your lives with one another. It's about ministering in some form or fashion to somebody else. But all in is simple. That's where it starts. Read your Bible, pray, come to church, bring your supply, and then go from there. That's our little bit of dedication, our little bit of revelation. That's a little revelation. Now, when you start pursuing that little bit of revelation, it becomes greater, becomes bigger, and then it becomes greater revelation. It becomes a part of your life. Father, I just thank you for this service here today. Father, just me and you talking now, they're probably going to get tired of hearing me say all in over the next 3 or 4 weeks. But I just know, Father, that that's what you want. You want us to seek you wholeheartedly. And you said if we seek you wholeheartedly, we'll find you. And if, when we pray to you, you'll hear us. And we know that when you hear us, you act. So, Father, as we're here this morning, we've heard your word. We've heard your word. We've seen examples of what it means to be all in through your word and in personal testimony. Let that be an encouragement to us to do the same, to walk it out, to be different when we leave this place. Remembering some of those passages, Father, as we go through our week here, the things that were obtained here today, Father, help us to maintain those throughout the week. Bring them to our remembrance. You said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's put in can come out and should come out. So as we leave here today, we know we don't leave you here, but you go with us. And we thank you for that, and we expect your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in every step we take, along with your word, Father. Praise you for it, in Jesus' name.